Please turn with your Bibles. Please turn in your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. While you're turning there, I wanted to share a little tidbit of information that I find interesting. Pastor Weigel was talking about that Christ ate fish and the honeycomb. And I was studying that passage for some reason, and I was surprised to find what I found was that it's not a noun there that means honeycomb or even honey. It's the word for a honeybee in Greek is Melissa, just like the name, Melissa. And the word there translated honeycomb is an adjective formed off of the word for honeybee, Melissa, you know. And so I was like, so he's saying basically the bee thing, you know, the ate the bee thing, you know, probably likely ate honeycomb or honey or something like that. Because, I mean, what's he going to do, eat crushed up honeybees? I don't think so. But I always found that interesting. I always thought that was cute. The name Deborah means the same thing, honeybee, but Hebrew. So Deborah and Melissa mean the same thing, honeybee. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. I wanted to look here real quick because the next section that we're going to deal with, I told you my purpose, one of the things we were going to do as we studied the Song of Solomon is we were going to compare what we found in the Song of Solomon to what the Bible says about biblical love. And I think that this next section illustrates well this concept in verse 5. It says, you know, it's in a list of things that charity does and doesn't do. And it says, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. And I want to focus on that phrase, seeketh not her own. So just keep that in mind. Now turn back with me to the Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon, verse 8. Yeah, chapter 2, sorry. Forgot to mention that. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 8. We had just finished the section, the mutual affection of the lovers. This new section in my outline is entitled The Mutual Seeking and Finding of the Lovers. And that begins with chapter 2, verse 8, and goes all the way through chapter 3, verse 5. But I think today we're just going to focus on this section, verse 8 through the end of the chapter. This first section is about Solomon seeking out the Shulamite. There are unstated gaps of time. So this is a break in the series of events. We're jumping ahead a little bit. We're now going from the banquet hall of the king. Now the king is seeking out the Shulamite in her chamber, at her chambers. And it begins with the Shulamite speaking. It says, the voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountain, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. So here's Solomon. He comes. He's coming to where the Shulamite is. And he's like, hey, you know, getting her attention. He's seeking her out, and it says, my beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle, or turtle dove, is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Thank you very much. Oh, when I said about, you know, you guys falling asleep, I wasn't trying to be mean. That's just the natural experience I have whenever I eat. if I eat a goodly meal, I want to go to sleep afterwards. My mom says I come by it naturally. It says all the men in my family are that way. We eat, we want to go to sleep. Says, the fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Verse 14 is the Shulamite responding to him, to his entreaty. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. Now, I want to focus on this in light of that verse that says, love seeketh not her own. We've discussed this before, but the principal aspect of love, the principal idea of it, of biblical love, is selflessness. Not focus on the self, but focus on the one loved. Now this is, you know, a tender picture, you know, a sweet picture. Here comes Solomon showing up at the home of the Shulamite, and he's looking in through the window lattice. You know, they didn't have glass, so if you wanted windows that you can see out of, you know, you basically just had to have a hole in the wall and put something up to keep things from just coming in whenever they want. So he's peering in at the lattice, you know, trying to get their attention. And he says to her, come out, it's springtime. Is basically what all that he's talking about, you know, in a very poetic way. He says, it's spring. The land's waking up. Everything's beautiful. Come out, come out. Come with me. Let's walk the hills together. Come with me and let's look at everything beautiful. You know, we could just, you know, if we didn't think about it, we could just skip this section and just go, oh, well, that was pretty, that's sweet, how nice of Solomon, and keep going. But I want to look at it in light of what the Bible says. There are three things going on here that if we consider who Solomon is and the situation, we will realize, we'll realize the sacrifices he's making to do this thing. Love, to seek not her own, to seek others, to seek the well-being of others. First off, I want you to note is that Solomon had to make a sacrifice of time. This is Solomon. He is the dominant ruler of the entire Eastern Mediterranean. Not only is he king over a greatly expanded and powerful Israel, but he is basically the overlord of every nation that borders their country. You read about the reign of Solomon and the kings in the Chronicles, you'll see that he's greatly active in building up the nation, in international dealings, dealing with Hiram, king of Tyre, queen of Sheba, the king, the pharaoh of Egypt. He's a busy man. I mean, that is to put it lightly. You know, we have a separation of powers. We have Supreme Court justice, we have president, and we have the Speaker of the House. You know, and each one, you know, the chief, you know, chief judge, chief executive, chief legislature. Solomon was all three of those things in his nation. And he didn't just deal with the top issues. You think about it. You know, about the two women who were arguing over whose baby it was. They came before Solomon. So Solomon was open even to the law cases of the common people. The whole point of going into this is he was busy enough, he had enough responsibilities, that if he allowed it, he could have been busy 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Never taking time. One of the temptations that we can run into is to allow our busyness to supersede our responsibilities in our love relationships. Whether that be with the Lord, with our spouse, with our family, or with others, we can allow busyness to supersede that. I was dealing with a man who said he was too busy to go to church. And I said, well, you know, he was telling me everything he was doing. I was like, yeah, boy, it sure sounds like you're busy, you know. And if you're too busy to go to church, you're too busy. And he's like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm so glad you understand. I was like, no, you're not understanding what I just said. I said, you are too busy. If you don't have time for God, you have too much on your plate. And you need to take some things off that plate so you can make time for God. I said, you are in desperate need of reprioritizing your life. We say, well, I don't really have time to spend time in prayer or to read my Bible or to go to church. It takes sacrifice. What does the Bible say about love? Love seeketh not her own. You're not supposed to be focused on yourself. You're supposed to be focused on the one loved. And the first priority, we've talked before about the priority of love relationships. The very first priority is your love relationship with the Lord God, with the Lord Jesus Christ. So you need to make sure that he gets the first chunk off of your time that you have available. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Figure out, portion out your different responsibilities. He gets first dibs. If you want, I've known so many people, it's so sad because they look at their different love relationships, whether it's with the Lord or with their spouse, or with their family, and they see it's lacking. I don't know how many times people have said, man, I wish my relationship with my wife was like yours. I remember I was talking to Pastor and Heidi about these guys I used to work with, and they treated their wives so poorly. And they used to make jokes, just horrible jokes. The one would say, your wife's a pig, and go, no. Your wife's the pig, my wife's a cow. Oh yeah, I forgot, we have to keep that straight. And one day, Heidi did something especially sweet for me, made something really nice that I brought to work, and one of them said, man, I wish my wife would do stuff like that for me. And I said, the reason my wife does things like this is because I call her my fairy princess. The reason why your wife does not is because you call her a cow and a pig. You have the life you chose. If you want a healthy love relationship, whether it's with the Lord Jesus Christ or with your spouse or with your family or with others, you have to make a sacrifice of time. And I realize it is a sacrifice, you know, because there is no end to the things that you could be doing with your time. But if you're wanting a healthy love relationship, and I'll tell you what, there is no end to the benefits of a healthy love relationship with the Lord and a healthy love relationship with another human being, you have to first make a sacrifice of time where you're going to say, I am going to give them of my time. You just, doesn't work any other way. You can spend all the money you want, you know, call as many florists as you want to deliver the flowers, throws. I knew one guy who was a Christian businessman, and he thought that, you know, he was so busy with his business that he never had time to go to church, so he threw lots of money at the church. And he thought that took up his slack in his Christian duty. That he could just, you know, pay his way out of taking time for the Lord. And he wondered why he was struggling so in his own personal life and with his family. So the first thing, here's Solomon. You are not as busy as Solomon was. I mean, you have computers. You can shoot off emails, make phone calls. Solomon wanted to see somebody. He had to either send for him or go see him. No phone calls. He was the most powerful Eastern Mediterranean ruler at the time. You're not as busy as he was. He took the time. He made the sacrifice of time to go seek out. Remember, love seeketh not her own. He wasn't focused on himself. He went to go seek out the Shulamite. He understood that it takes a sacrifice of time. Secondly, notice that he did not wait for her to initiate the action. I've heard too many people saying, man, I wish that people would treat me like that, or I wish, you know, people would be a friend to me like that. And it just shows a basic failure of understanding. Love seeketh not her own. There's this one person who was really upset with their spouse, and they're like, but they don't. I said, listen to yourself. You've got this all wrong. You're so messed up. You're focused on what they're supposed to be doing. That's none of your business. That's their responsibility before God, not yours. You're supposed to be focused on what you're supposed to be doing for them, not what they're supposed to be doing for you. You have these people who say, you know, whether it's with the Lord or with their spouse or with someone else, saying, I wish I had friends. I wish that my spouse cared about me the way yours does. I wish that I had the kind of relationship that you do with the Lord. Yet all they're focused on is me, me, me. I wish God would do for me. I wish my spouse would do for me. I wish that they would reach out to me in friendship. One of the things that transformed my life, besides getting saved, the great things was this understanding of that I'm supposed to be active in my love towards others. I used to be in the position where I wished I had friends who cared about me. And you know, I was reading about this and reading throughout the Bible, and I ran across in Proverbs where it says, a man who wishes friends needs to show himself friendly. And it was like suddenly the light switch came on. And I thought, wait a minute. I'm not some unusual human being. I'm just an average person. So if I wish people would reach out to me, I bet they wish the same thing. So I started reaching out to others. And now I have many friends who love me and care about me and are willing to go to personal sacrifice and do things. You know, you can't like set aside an hour of your day and sit in your study and say, okay, world, I've set aside time for you. Now march in here and get to loving. Are you going to tell God that? God, I'm here. Do something. Come on, shower me with your love. This section is called the mutual seeking and finding of the lovers for a reason, because this first part is Solomon reaching out to her, the second part is her reaching back to him. But we often find a lack in our love relationships because the Bible portrays that the way a healthy love relationship works is I reach out to Pastor Weigel in love. I don't wait for him to do that. I actively reach out and pass to Weigel in love. He does the same if he's right with God. And so we find each other seeking each other. That is how the Bible describes a healthy love relationship. Whether it is the love relationship between you and the Lord, the Bible says that anyone who seeks the Lord will find him. The picture that you find of the Lord in the Bible is that if you go seeking God, you find that he's on the way to you. That's how you have a healthy love relationship with the Lord, with your spouse, with other human beings. You must be a seeker of others. Not a seeker of your own, but a seeker of others. Thirdly, another way that Solomon showed that he was being selfless is what we've learned so far about the Shulamite is that she was a shepherdess, right? And she always speaks in terms of the open country and the rural nature of things. She talks about the wild deer and the flowers of the wildflowers of the field and the hills. She's used to the open country. That's what she likes. You know, for her to talk about it all the time shows that it's not just something she knows, it's something she loves. Solomon, on the other hand, when you read about Solomon, he was a man surrounded by wealth and beautiful man-made things. He was a great builder. He liked horses, apparently. Shipped them all the way from Egypt. So we find him coming to the Shulamite. He sets aside time, makes a sacrifice of time for her. He seeks her out, and then he starts talking about his new car and about the colts and about all the things that he personally enjoys. Is that what we find? No. He says, let's go to the place that you love to go. Let's go look at the things that you love to look at. He's not focused on what pleases him. He's calling her and saying, hey, it's springtime. The hills are blooming. The birds are chirping. Get to hear the little cute birds. Come with me. Let's go do that which pleases you. The third way that we can show that we are not, that, or how that we can seek not our own, but seek the other, is by investing ourselves in them. My wife likes to shop. I am a typical guy in this. I do not shop. For me, every time going to the store is a military objective to seek, find, conquer, and leave. I enter the door, I find the shortest route to the object, I get it, I pay for it, I bag it, and I take it home. Seek, find, and conquer. My wife, we have come for milk, way off in that corner, and we come in and we turn right. And we do this. And this, and this, and this, and this, and this. Find the milk and just keep going. You know, I knew a guy once, he said, I feel like a hypocrite doing things for others like me, he hates to shop. Hates it. And he said, I feel like a hypocrite. You know, if I tell my wife I want to take her shopping. And I said, you're only a hypocrite if you say you enjoy it. I'm being serious. I was talking to Mr. Thompson about this last week. I've told my wife. I said, I don't like doing this. But I want to do that which pleases you. I want to serve you. I want to make you happy. And if part of making you happy is walking aisle by aisle through this giant store, looking at everything on the shelf for 2 hours, I'll do it. And I try to, you know, I ask her questions. You know, I was like, well, why is that better than this other thing? You know? And I try to invest myself in what's important to her. Sometimes, not as successfully. There was the time I was really tired. I wasn't really watching myself. And we're going through the store, and I had reached just about my limit of what I could endure of shopping. And all of a sudden, without even thinking about it, I was standing there going, bored, 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 bored. Saying that. And my wife looked at me and she cracked up. She's like, okay then. And I was like, I am so sorry. I did not mean to say that out loud. Sometimes those love muscles get tired. But the fact is, I don't like to shop, but I do take her shopping because I love her. And she does the same for me. I've found that the more I reach out to her, it encourages her to reach back and to do special things for me. We get into these little arguments, but not arguments that you may be thinking, but arguments of, let's do what you want. No, 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 let's do what you want. Well, what do you want to do? No, 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 I asked first. What do you want to do? And she's told me very firmly sometimes, you cannot be selfish with the selflessness. She finds it hard sometimes to get out of me what I want. Because I want to be the big, strong love guy. You know, that I'm the one giving. I accused Pastor Weigel of stealing and hogging the selflessness. I was like, no, I get to do that. But the point is, Solomon wasn't the out-in-the-fields guy. Everything that's portrayed about him, you read Ecclesiastes, he was the guy who was the big-time builder and organizer. The man who pursued philosophy and history and understanding. He was a man who liked to make really beautiful projects and organize things. He was the empire builder. But he sacrificed his time. He sought out the Shulamite. And he said, let's go do something that you love to do. I remember reading, it was both touching and sad, when God came to David about his adultery with Bathsheba. And his statement to David through the prophet was, he said, I gave you this and this and this and this. He said, and if that hadn't been enough, I would have given you more. If you wanted more, I would have given it to you. You go and take... You know, you take the one thing that this other guy has. What's especially despicable about that is that Uriah the Hittite was one of David's mighty men of valor who went into the caves with him. This was one of his most loyal guys. And he stole from him the one thing he had and then stole his life as well. Because I don't care if David fired the shot that killed Uriah or not. David arranged for his death. But think about from the positive side, that God was eager. He loved David, and he was eager to do good for David. Not just in, you know, the higher spiritual way of, you know, blessing him with grace and other things, but even the things just David wanted. The riches and the wealth. He said, if I haven't given you enough toys, I'll buy you more toys. Seeking not her own. Love seeketh not her own. Love is focused on the one loved. And we see here three ways that Solomon was focused on the Shulamite instead of on himself. He made a sacrifice of time. He initiated the showing of love. He went to her. He didn't wait for her to come to him. And finally, he was focused on what was good for her, what would please her, what would benefit her. How are you in your love relationships, first with the Lord? Are you making a regular sacrifice of time to make time for your relationship with the Lord? Are you the one pursuing it, or are you waiting for God to do something for you? And finally, are you seeking to please the Lord? Or do you want to sit there like a baby chick with his mouth open going, give, give, give? The only way you are going to grow spiritually is if you're honest with yourself. If you're not honest about where you really are at in your life, you can't hope to grow. If you're not placing God in priority where he should be honest with yourself. And if you find in yourself, and this is understandable, this is okay to admit. If you say, I look inside and I just can't find the motivation to do it, don't be ashamed to say to somebody, hey, I see a fault in me, and I don't know what to do about it. That's why we're here. That's why Pastor Weigel wakes up in the morning, because he wants to help you find those answers. If you are not sure what to do or how to do it, or how to find the will to overcome your own selfish desires, come to Pastor Weigel, and he will show you how to have victory in this. I challenge you, as we continue to study the Song of Solomon, examine your love relationships, whether it be with the Lord, or your spouse, or your family, or other people. Are you loving them as you ought? If you're not, don't pretend like it's not an issue. Your lives can be so much more. The more I learn about this, the more I invest myself in it, the greater the benefits. I was not joking the other week when I said, it just keeps getting better. I am happy. I'm the guy who took 64 sleeping pills to kill myself. That's not something to be proud of. But long time ago, I was at a point of total despair. There was nothing worth having in this life. And I'm telling you that as I have followed the Lord, it just keeps getting better. All right. Well, thank you for your time. I went over 5 minutes. Sorry about that. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll dismiss, and then we meet back at 11? Quarter till. Dear Heavenly Lord, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your word. Pray you bless now and be with us. And I pray, O Lord, that you work mightily through Pastor Weigel, that you use the preaching of your word to... forgot who was preaching today. Be with Brother Brown, Lord. Please work through him today. fill him with your spirit. Use the preaching of your word to impact each of us, to shape us and mold us into the very image of your son. Bless now, Lord, and be with us. In the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.